Good morning. Pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always pleasing to you, our Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before we get started this morning, I want to apologize if I get emotional up here. For those of you that have followed my journey from certain death, drowning in addiction, living a life of rebellion, you understand the weight of the sermon today. You're my first. This is my first sermon. And to be able to do this in front of my church, the church I grew up in, and all of you, and in front of my dad and my mom and my wife, it's a miracle. So if I start to get teary-eyed, forgive me. If I start to shout and yell, you can blame my dad. I'm his son after all. Enough of that. All right, so let's unpack this heavy message today in Romans 8. That's where we're going. Or in other words, the Lord's commandment for us to live in the Spirit. There are many ways we can live in the Spirit and are called to do so. For example, we should be so inclined as to repent of our sins and move away from the sins of the flesh, as we learned in chapter 7 last week. But it continues in chapter 8 as well. I could preach for hours on this entire chapter. There's a lot in there. But for the sake of brevity, I want to focus my attention on a few verses within this text. So open your Bibles with me to Romans 8. And set a marker for 2 Timothy as well, because we'll come back to that. So during my preparation for this message, I asked the Lord to speak to me and reveal what he wanted me to reveal to you today. And without question, the one topic that kept coming to my heart was fear. So today, I want to approach this topic with you with recent events in mind. COVID-19 has become a major challenge for a lot of us. In a lot of ways, it's turned our world upside down. Personally, COVID-19 canceled my internship in Seattle with my former church and forced my family and I to come all the way back to Texas, across country, out of fear for our safety and provision. So when I approach this subject with you this morning, please understand I'm just as guilty of living in fear as everyone else. But listen, we are all guilty of it. Show of hands, and be honest. How many of you ran in the market and grabbed up every last roll of toilet paper? Or every bag of flour? Or stockpiled your pantry as soon as COVID-19 hit? I mean, be honest. Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to see it when it's paralyzed in fear, and we see it all over social media these days. The initial numbers came out and scared the daylights out of us. I was terrified too. But that is the importance of this message today. That is the importance of living in the Spirit and not of the flesh. And this is reason why I dare to broach this topic with you today. Because as a country, and even worse, as a church, as a Christian community, we're failing to live in the Spirit by letting fear overcome our lives. COVID-19 has brought the worst out of us. It has made us cower under the weight of death when the Bible explicitly tells us death has no sting. So my call to all of us, especially those that serve a God and a King as mighty and righteous as ours, is to rise up and walk by faith that in the Lord's providence over our lives, we win. As our good friend Owen mentioned to me at dinner the other day, he said he looks at COVID as a win-win for his life. Either he contracts COVID and dies, where in victory in Christ he wins by virtue of placement next to his Abba in heaven, or, like 99% of those under 70 years old, he recovers and is able to live his life immune forever. And this is the heart of the issue, because as Romans 8 tells us in verse 15, go there with me now. It says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So what is Paul referring to here, church? It's my belief that the fear that Paul speaks of is condemnation, an eternal separation from our Abba. There's nothing worse. Condemnation, then, is eternal death. So go back to Romans 8:1, if you would. It says that we're no longer condemned. So I ask, as those that are free from condemnation, what do we have left to fear? Here lies the crux of the situation. In our flesh, as human beings, with feelings and emotions, we get caught up in our worldly possessions. And yes, that includes life itself. But the Bible tells us that we are not to live for worldly possessions and that this life is not the goal. Rather, the goal is to be with our Father in heaven. So again, if that is our goal in Christ, if that is our heart's true desire, then what are we so afraid of? Why are we afraid of death? Why do we let COVID-19, with a 99% recovery rate, cast the doctrine of providence, the promise of mercy from our Lord, aside, and live a life of worry, anxious of when the pandemic may take those we love, or worse, ourselves? If the Bible tells us not to fear, that living in the Spirit means not to fear, among other things, why do we separate ourselves from loved ones for the sake of social distancing? Or worse, why do we fearfully reject those who have decided to fearlessly live their life? Is this really what the Bible is talking about? Let's find out. So just the other day, I was shopping in HEB. Now, you people don't have any idea how good you have it here. HEB is amazing. You can't get that service or quality anywhere else. So bless it. Anyway, so I was at HEB the other day on my way to Mom and Dad's house for a barbecue. My dad makes a killer, killer pork butt, by the way. But I was getting some beer because I was making borracho beans. Ah, I know what you're thinking, though. No, I wasn't there to buy alcohol for me. It was because I was making borracho beans and I needed one bottle. Unfortunately, because of COVID-19, they only carry 12 packs now. So I needed to call my dad to make sure which beer he wanted. What was it? Negra Modelo or Pacifico? So I called him on the phone, and in order to do that, I needed to pull my mask down. So I pulled my mask down over my mouth, you know, because you want the other person to hear you on the other line. And as soon as I do that, a lady approaches me and starts yelling at me, "Put your mask back on!" And I was caught back. I couldn't believe it. It blew my mind. So I went about my conversation. Dad told me, well, I want Negra Modelo. So I grabbed the 12-pack, put it in my cart. Sasia and I, who was with me, we head down the other aisle. And wouldn't you know it? There she is. She pulls her cart over to the side. And she says to me, yeah, I'm the one that approached you. I'm the one that told you to put your mask on. Never mind that I have my mask on now. But she's yelling at me. Now, keep in mind, this lady's covered from head to toe. She's got a hat on. She's got a mask on and she's got gloves on. And then it dawned on me. I could see the fear and terror in her eyes. She was undoubtedly afraid. And I asked myself, and I asked all of you, is that how we want to live? Is that biblically living in the Spirit? Is that what Romans is offering us? Think about that as we continue this morning. So how do we miss this, folks? Why do we let our flesh win out so often? Especially when things hit the fan and our lives or our livelihoods are in danger. Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8 and let's dive into the deep end on this. So verse 1 tells us right away not to fear. Why? Because this life isn't what we live for. This life only leads to the next. And in Christ, we are no longer condemned, held captive by the law, and are free to live our lives as if death has no sting, as 1 Corinthians 15 tells us. Imagine that, saints. Isn't that what freedom is all about? How freeing is it to be able to live your life in everything that you do without fear of dying, but rather in celebration of what comes next? Wow. I mean, holy smokes, forget the freedom that we have in this country. That is only a taste of the freedoms we get by living in the Spirit. So here we are, verse 1. Paul says, "There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." What is Paul referring to here? Well, remember from last week, in chapter 7, he's speaking about living in the Spirit and the Spirit revealing that which is sin. That we are dead to sin. That we are dead to life unless we are in Christ. Chapter 8 now answers that call on how we are to do that and what it means to enter into this life in the Spirit. Right away, Paul offers a gut punch to fear. And Christ is telling us that if we follow him, our sins are wiped away. We're no longer condemned. What are we afraid of? Saints, don't miss this. We are promised eternity with Christ, an abundant life, and his providence will lead us to victory. Why? Because we're no longer condemned. Condemnation is the opposite of justification. To be justified means that we are without condemnation. It is the complete, irreversible justification of the ungodly. That's us. It carries with it total forgiveness of all condemnation. We don't deserve it. But is our God merciful or what? Thank you. So many of you may not know this, but I actually went to UTSA for a year. It was a mistake. But during my time there, I needed to take an art. But instead of studying paintings and some artists, instead I wanted to go somewhere different. And so I really studied and dove deep into Greek mythology. So it's fascinating to see the Greek world of pantheism and our Christian worldviews collide. I can go off into a sermon. I'll save that for another sermon. But if you're interested, my dad feels the same way, so he has some interesting things to say about it as well. Sorry, Dad. But in relation to this morning, there was this guy, a philosopher, named Lucretius, and he had some choice words for death. Our buddy Lucretius was a materialist, meaning he didn't believe in anything else except for what he could touch and what he could feel. He didn't believe anything that happens afterwards. Therefore, death is meaningless. He says, since you won't exist. And this is an area our world is struggling with right now. For unbelievers, they're afraid that this life is it. So death is terrifying. It's the end. There's no existence after death for them. Lucretius sums up the typical human reaction to it like this. He says, when there's no immediate danger of dying, people are less afraid of death. But when illness or danger strike, people get scared and begin to think of what happens after death. He's right, you know. And Romans 8 tells us one of the reasons why. Lucretius is hitting on this worldview that death is the final word. But for him, it's meaningless. For many today, there's nothing more terrifying than death because non-existence is terrifying. So death means everything to them. And as for Christians, we have nothing to fear in death because we're promised everlasting life, the opposite of non-existence. And this is the danger and the misery that humanists preach. Atheists and secular society shows us. We're no longer condemned by death in Christ. Therefore, the fear of death is an irrational fear of something that for Christians has the ultimate meaning, since it means we will be reunited with our Father and in holy communion with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Death is our punishment for original sin. And for many, those without a relationship with Christ, death is the worst thing imaginable. But for those of us in Christ, death is conquered because what next is better than we can imagine. You see the difference? To live without Christ is to live in fear of what happens next. To doubt the reward that awaits, not a participation trophy I particularly want, by the way, but one we all deserve. But to live in Christ means to live free of fear and to await the reward that heaven provides. It is Jesus, His death and resurrection that frees us from the bondage of sin and death. We're to live without fear because Romans 8:1 tells us we're no longer condemned and justifies it in verse 2, the very next verse, stating we're released from the law of sin and death. Amen? Too often right now we allow fear of death to paralyze us or goad us into staying home when we should be in the church pews or we sit on the couch instead of providing service to the communities. The church has failed to live up to our forefathers' example. Martin Luther, the great reformer, faced the Black Plague and stayed in Wittenberg, where he lived and ministered, facing certain death. He opened his house up to the infected while even losing his daughter to the plague. Think about that. He refused to leave, even though he was being told to leave, because he didn't want to not answer the call that the Lord placed on him. During the plague and the Middle Ages, it was the Christians who were the first to the front lines. The first to witness and provide aid to the infected. They would volunteer to heal the sick, take care of the poor and needy, serve the community in the name of gospel, and go into their homes to serve in the name of the gospel. All with little concern for their own life. And many, many paid the price. Many died. So let me ask you, is this the spirit of the church today? Better yet, is this your spirit? Because the Bible tells us that the Lord is sovereign over all and that He is actively participating in our lives. The Bible also tells us that He makes all things new and brings life from death, doing only good. So if we really believe this, then our fear is irrational. How so? Living in fear of death is telling God that you don't trust His plan for you, since He is sovereign over your death. The importance of living free in the Lord's sovereignty cannot be understated. And I love what the theologian John Piper says about it. Listen to this. He says, quote, God decides if we live and die, or do this, or do that. This has filled God's people with incredible courage and energy and joy over the centuries in very risky circumstances of ministry. Luther. Why? Because we are immortal until our Father decides to bring us home. Think of it. Immortal. You are immortal. You really will not die. You will not die until God intends for you to die. This is wonderful. I mean, where else would you rather rest than in this? Unquote. I'll pause briefly to let you marinate in Piper's message for a second, because it is powerful. Remember in Romans 8, verse 15, we already covered this. Paul declares, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father." This is quite an impactful statement when we bring it all together. Think about this, saints. What this is saying is that if we live in the Spirit, we're no longer condemned, like 8:1 says. And now because of this justification, we're being told the Spirit we now possess is one of freedom. But why? Because of our Father's mercy. No matter what, He provides the good. We look at death as something to fear or dread. But we're told to turn to our Father and cry, Abba, as His son or daughters. Switching gears for a minute. Turn with me to 2 Timothy, verse 7. Oh, chapter 1. Thank you. It's right there, first page. 2 Timothy, verse 7. Read it for a second. What it tells us is that we're not given a spirit of fear, but rather one of power, love, sound mind, or depending on what interpretation you have, self-control. But this passage adds a second element now. Why would the author say sound mind or self-control? Because we're irrational beings sometimes. And if we're living in the flesh, our minds can make us do things we don't want. Or worse, it distorts our reality. Our ability to see things the way they really are. We can be easily led astray or make decisions we normally wouldn't make, absent of fear. Fear is controlling. It is manipulating. And the Bible warns us, even in Romans 7, that we are powerless to control ourselves. That we probably can't stop sinning because we are born into it. And the vicious circle continues. But the gospel is the answer. Jesus is the answer. His death on the cross stamped out certain death for us all. It forgave our sins and wiped the slate clean. But His resurrection gave us the Paraclete, our great helper, the Holy Spirit. And if we live in Him, we're not given the spirit of fear, but of sound mind, of control, to control our irrational fear. And death has been defeated. We are promised everlasting life in Christ. Thus walk in faith, in power, and rid your fleshly desires. Walk in the Spirit and be free from the wages of sin and death. Live as an immortal. Spread the gospel like your life depends on it. But faithfully and fearlessly wait for what is next, because it is going to be awesome. My problem with fear is a personal one. I fear many things that I am ashamed to admit. But my biggest fear right now is how in the world we're going to pay for another year of living expenses while I'm at school. You see, we need help from all of you to get us through. But that's not really true, is it? In reality, we need the Lord to provide. And He will use you and others to do that. You see, folks, this sermon isn't intended to be a political one. It just turned out my pops wanted me to give a sermon on Romans 8 or Matthew 13 or Isaiah 55. And the Lord put it on my heart to speak to fear. Because this is something that has truly affected us all the past few months. And maybe for a lot of our lives. What became clear to me when studying this week is the Lord revealed to me what fear does. Fear, if anything, distorts our minds. It turns our minds against us. As Christians, we should be reaching out to the Holy Spirit for guidance, instead of in our own heads. That's the importance of the Greek word about the Holy Spirit, parakletos, or paraclete. In essence, a personal helper, our advocate. So here we are. We have our helper, our advocate, at all times. But fear invades our minds and intercepts our thoughts. And don't miss this, church. In our state of fear, we're not only neglecting our helper, our Holy Spirit. What we're really doing is neglecting the Lord's providence and provision in our lives. You see, I'm not really afraid that none of you will donate to us or raise funds for us. No. What scares me the most is the Lord won't provide. That, folks, is a sin. I'm doubting the Lord's will for me, His call on my life to ministry. Fear blinds us to the work of the cross. It separates our hearts and minds, so we think with our mind and not with our spirit-filled hearts, as Romans demands. That is the heart of what I believe Romans 8 and 2 Timothy are getting at in speaking of having a sound mind and walking with the Spirit. So here's my prayer, saints. Instead of worrying about death or worrying about not worrying about death, embrace those thoughts. And each time, step out in faith and say, go ahead, make my day. Tell those thoughts that if you let me live, Christ will be honored in your life. And if you take my life away, I get more of Christ in heaven. I win either way. Go about your daily life with a totally happy uncertainty about when you will die. As Paul says in Philippians 1, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Because we're no longer condemned. And in that we are justified. And it is through that justification we're freed from the sting of death. Because in the law of the Spirit we're freed from sin and death, and therefore commanded to have no fear. I'll close with some powerful words from a champion of the faith. His name is Martin Lloyd-Jones. Some of you may know him. But he faced death with courage, not fear. He famously preached from a bomb shelter during the Nazi Blitzkrieg in World War II. And I want to share with you a couple of snippets from two sermons that he gave. Here they are. Father Jones says this. He said, the acid test of our profession is this. What do you feel like when you're sitting in an air raid shelter and you hear the bombs dropping around and about you? And you know that the next bomb may land on you and may be the end of you. That is the test. How do you feel when you are face to face with the ultimate, with the end? So that's one sermon. He says this in another. He says, let the bombs fall. Let war come. Let disease and pestilence ravage the land. Let me die. What is it? Translation? To be with him. This old body of mine, the body of my humiliation, the body of infirmity, the body of disease, the body of death, transfigured, changed, glorified, made like the body of Christ's resurrection. And I, in this new glorified body, ushered into this blessed presence to spend my eternal life with him. Powerful words from a faithful saint who might offer us a glimpse of what our behavior should be when facing uncertainty brought on by a pandemic, brought on by uncertain financial future, brought on by whatever brings fear into our lives. Let us model our fearlessness from these words and attack each situation with joy of a child on Christmas morning, waiting to unwrap a present, because our reward awaits us too. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for dying for us, for freeing us from bondage one nail at a time, for raising again so that we are no longer condemned to separation from you, but rather a promise to live amongst you in our Abba. We thank you for mercy and ask that you show us to live in the Spirit every day. Let us accept the freedom that you have provided so that we are freed from the spirit of slavery and can await fearlessly for the day when we are reunited with you in heaven. We ask that you lead us as we enter into the world today to be courageous as faithful witness for you in all that we do, to show courage when others fear, to rise up and answer your call even in the face of danger. Finally, we pray for all those who are suffering right now, that you may open their eyes and that they see you for the first time. Open their hearts to accept you and allow your servants here at COK and beyond to reach those lost, to bring them back to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Go in peace, saints.